18. Thievery and Secret Pacts. When Modo returned to his cabin, the door was closed and everything seemed to be in place. But when he looked under his mattress, the wireless telegraph had vanished. Stolen! How could he confront the captain without admitting what he was missing? She wouldn't believe it was a piece of photographic equipment. Anyone with basic technological knowledge would spot it as a wireless telegraph. Sadar would recognize it in a heartbeat. But had the theft been at the captain's orders? Was the dinner a ruse to give them time to explore his room? There were other potential suspects. Colette couldn't have taken it, since she had been seated at the table with him and had left when he did. Then Modo remembered her beguiling smile, and the way Comrade Garay had responded to her with a blush. She had been on board for a fortnight, time enough to bend a crewman to her will. Without the telegraph, he was, for all intents and purposes, a prisoner on the Actinio. It wasn't as though he could just open a hatch and be on his merry way. He felt a little slaver collect on his lip, a sign that his face was beginning to droop. He looked in the mirror. Already his features were melting like wax. A knock at the door. He shuddered.
Yes?
It's Colette. I need to speak with you, Mr. Walken. Angrily, Modo tried to stop the changes. No, having a temper tantrum wasn't helpful. It clouded the mind. Mr. Socrates had told him that 1,000 times. He focused, forming the night face again.
Mr. Walken?
Just a moment. Modo quickly straightened his eyes, a bead of sweat running down his cheek. He ran his fingers through his hair, relieved that it wasn't falling out yet. He was certain he could hold this form for 20 minutes at most. He opened the door an inch, but Colette pushed her way in and closed it behind her. The room felt very small.
No one saw me come here, she said, but there isn't much privacy on this death ship.
Modo backed away from her, leaning up against the far wall. Her dark, almond-shaped eyes burned into his.
I apologize for the intrusion. Yes, well, how may I serve you, I mean, be of service? He asked.
By telling me the truth, she said.
The truth? It's inappropriate for us to be alone together. I'm a married man. Liar.
She said this with such force, Modo felt as though he'd been slapped.
I am, he squeaked. What color are your wife's eyes? They're...
He paused, picturing Octavia.
Green. Green. I'm particularly gifted at observation, Mr. Walken. The ring on your finger is too big for you, and very shiny. We were just married. I've been meaning to get it sized properly.
She grabbed his arm.
Stop it! You're being pointlessly evasive.
When she let go, his arm stung. Her strength surprised him.
Your ship dropped anchor at the exact coordinates we were investigating. The Atlantic is too vast for such a coincidence. We were photographing the sea. The light is perfect and—
She put up her hand.
Nonsense! Stop this charade, Mr. Walken, if that in fact is your name. Captain Montoriel can't see what's right in front of her nose, but I can. You watch the others. You analyze. You are inquisitive. My guess is that you've been trained in these arts. The question is, by whom? I don't know what you're talking about.
Colette grabbed his hand this time, but held it gently, as though they were old friends.
Please, don't lie to me, she said softly. We're the only two sane people on board, and we could be trapped here with this mad woman for the rest of our lives. Tell me the truth.
Modo took a deep breath.
She had a point. Well, he said, removing his sweaty palm from hers, I suppose France and England are not officially at war, and we have cooperated in the past, the Crimea being but one example.
Her smile was dazzling.
I knew it! I knew it! Trained by the Brits, of course. You're all so wooden.
Wooden?
You're not natural acteur. Honestly, it's as though you've all got rigor mortis. There's something about the fog and cold that makes you stiffen up. I must say, I'm insulted.
As he said it, though, he couldn't help laughing. Her brown eyes flashed.
We must make a pact, Mr. Walken.
What sort of pact?
We'll get out of this coffin together. That is our pact. Come hell or high water.
Modo raised his eyebrows. Colette was trained to be devious.
All right, but just so no one gets the advantage, we'll inform our countries simultaneously about the existence of the Actinio.
I'll shake on that, she said.
And so they did. Her hand was warm, her grip vice-tight.
The question is, she went on, how do we contact our countries? I've never seen the crow's nest of this ship. It's somewhere in the bow. There may be a means of communication there, or we may have to send a message some other way when we surface. It may be a note in a bottle.
Murdo enjoyed her sardonic tone.
How often does this submarine ship surface?
Every 3 days, to refresh its oxygen.
There's a slim chance we'll surface near land or a friendly ship.
There is something else, Murdo said.
Which is?
I have a device that will allow us to communicate with outsiders.
Really? What is it?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, Mr. Walken, I see. Your wireless telegraph is a state secret.
Modo's eyes twitched. He paused to consider his options and chose to give in.
How did you know? I have my ways. Where is it?
Well, that's the thing. It was stolen.
Stolen?
She furrowed her brow.
Yes, it was hidden under my mattress. Then Montoriel knows, and she would certainly recognize the device. She's playing a game with us.
Is it possible one of the crew searched my quarters and has kept it, not knowing its purpose?
Perhaps.
Though you will find that these Icarians, as they call themselves, are slavish to their duty. It seems unlikely one would keep this secret. But suppose the thief just wanted something that none of his comrades had.
Colette pursed her lips. Still, we must assume she knows. But she's very blunt, so it's not like her to hide her motives. We'll have to wait until she plays her hand.
How many men and women are under her command?
I've met 22 different comrades. But this labyrinthine vessel could hold 100 at least. There are cabins on both levels, some with 4 bunks each.
Are there other ways off the ship?
I'm not aware of any, but they keep the aft and the bow under lock and key.
Then we shall have to assume the only way out is through the top hatch.
Yes.
She touched his hand.
My word is my honour, Mr. Walken. Do you trust me?
Modo tried to read her intentions in her face.
Trust? Between agents?
His chuckle was cut short by the severe look in her eyes.
I give you my word, too. Then what is your real name?
It's Modo. The moment he said it, he cursed himself. Mr. Socrates would never want any foreign agent to know his real name.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Modo.
She shook his hand again, this time light-heartedly, her eyes scanning his face. Was it still holding its shape?
Mademoiselle Colette Brunette is my real name, but you may call me Colette in private. When I was dragged, half-frozen, into this ship, I let them know my real name without thinking. But these Icarians know nothing of my true background.
I must admit I know who you are, he muttered. I studied you, I... He didn't know what to say, and was surprised when he blurted out, I'm sorry that your father died.
Colette's face went pale, and she quietly said, Thank you.
Then she turned, pausing at the door.
One final thought, Modo. If Montoriel knows that you're a spy and is suspicious of me, then this proposed walk under the ocean may be a trip to our own execution. Think on that.
She left and closed the door. He did think on it, throughout most of his fitful night's rest.